All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get going on this Friday edition, midway through the month of August. Hard to believe, 14th of August today. Hope you're off to a good start. We've got our NBA matchups for the playoffs, which we'll get to first and foremost as we lay out what's on the show today, courtesy of our friends from Side Pockets. There's Shane Dennis. What's going on, Parts?
Hey, what's up? We made it through another week.
Yep, another week.
Let me ask you before we get to the big show here. How's the weather in Denver? Because it's super duper, knocking on wood, super duper mild this summer here. We're looking at low 90s and upper 80s for about a week straight. How's Denver looking?
Well, right now, everything is skewed by the fires that are going on in our state, and it's created bad air quality. Uh-huh. It's 69 degrees this morning. And the high today is 94. I think the humidity is 20%.
Okay.
So it's extremely dry, which is great normally for us as human beings, not as good for fire conditions.
Fires, yeah. Because
things are so warm and so dry. And that is creating the issues right now. The some of the things that you get in a weird way that it's funny how things work in nature. You get unbelievable sunsets and unbelievable sunrises because of the smoke that's in the air.
Mm. Which is that got anything to do with the boys with the horses on the side of the helmet? Is that affecting workouts, practices, do you think?
I don't think it is. They're working out earlier and but I don't know. They put pads on this weekend, and we'll find out because it's a very real thing. I mean, when you get up in the morning now and look out over the city, there is a smoke.
That sucks.
There's a smoke. Yeah, it's very visible, and there are plenty of warnings, bad air warnings. So that's not too cool right now, but it's very mild this morning.
All right.
I think it was 56 when I went to take out Ted.
Wow.
At about 5:40, 5:35, something like that, this morning. It was really cool. Very nice.
That's super mild. Here's hoping that at least here in Kansas, where it's normally feels like it's over 100 every day, the actual air temperature is struggling to get to 90, and that's pretty cool.
Well, that's good.
And it's raining every now and then.
I like
that. Yeah, you bet.
Well, that's not bad either.
Not at all. Not at all. Anytime you can see it, watch it rain in July or August, pretty much no matter where you are, but especially here, it's like, all right, that's a
little. Are things still pretty green?
Yeah. Yeah. As far as I can tell, they are.
Yeah, glad. Yeah. Last time I was there, which was a month and a half ago or something like that, I don't know, it looked pretty green to me, so that's nice.
Yep.
At least you got that going for you.
All right. NBA. Is that where you want to start? We're going NBA first?
Sure, why not? I mean, even though we've got an extra day of play here today, everything seems pretty well set. So
you got a play between Portland and Memphis. I know nobody except for maybe Paul Sullentrop cares about the Phoenix Suns. But isn't it a shame that somebody went to the bubble and went undefeated and still didn't make it? Like,
you
didn't punch your ticket to anything. Phoenix won every single game they played in the bubble, and they're going to end up, ninth or tenth or however you want to slice it, because Memphis and Portland get to duke it out for the right to play the Lakers.
Play better in the regular season.
I suppose.
Play better. So.
Yeah. But that was the design of keeping teams that had nothing to play for. I say nothing to play for, a la the Knicks and the Warriors, teams like that. Keep them out of there. They, to your point, they didn't play well enough before this stuff hit, so you don't get the opportunity to play for all the marbles, now that we've got a a bubble figured out, and you don't get to participate. But a little bit of me feels bad for Phoenix that they went 8-0, got to 34-39, and didn't quite make the cut. Has your opinion changed at all? I doubt it has, but I'll ask anyway about Denver. And their chances to go to the finals. It's a 3-6 matchup.
Oh, I think it's a 50-50 series against Utah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They swept the season series, if that matters to you at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. 3-0. I think it's a 50-50 shot. 55-45 Denver. Haven't had all of their people together. They're still defensively not a very good basketball team. You've got a guy in the middle that can not deal with Jokic, but that can at least defend him close to the basket. Now, Rudy Gobert isn't going to go out and get him. But, no, I would say that the Nuggets are a slight favorite. Maybe better than a slight favorite for most people. But I'll say, what, 6 games?
Okay.
Give me the Nuggets.
All right. And not just because this is the 4-5 matchup, and on paper this is the closest matchup, but what's Oklahoma City and Houston do for you, especially with Russell Westbrook expected to at least miss the first quote-unquote part of this playoff series? Do the Oklahoma City Thunder, which actually has the 4 spot, ahead of Houston, who's the 5.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this one? It feels like Houston is the favorite, even though they are the lower-seeded team. Weird as that may be, they both have the same record, so it's kind of a coin flip. Absolutely,
right.
It's a coin flip. Kind of like Miami, you know, and Indiana in the East. They're 4-5, and they both have the exact same record. The Thunder lead the regular season series 2-1, but, man, it would take a lot of stones for me, anyway, to put real money on the Oklahoma City Thunder to beat Houston in spite of the 4-5 status of their seeding there in the West.
Well, okay. Yeah. Houston is interesting because they're apparently going to stay small and play small. So they're going to spread the court. They've got 2 guys that they're going to have their hands on the ball the whole time. And they're intriguing. The Rockets are kind of intriguing. They've played up and down in the bubble, but they've played well on occasion, and they've got 2 great players. I kind of like them against Oklahoma City, but I don't think it's like tipped so severely that you just kind of dismiss Oklahoma City. I think I would take Houston, but I think it'll be a close series. Billy Donovan's done a nice job with the Thunder.
How about Billy Donovan and Brad Stevens both turning into really damn good NBA coaches? And Brad Stevens just got extended again.
And breaking the norm. The prevailing thought for years has been, and the proof in the prevailing thought, is that coaches don't come from college and make good NBA coaches, a la Calipari, Patino, Lon Kruger. There's lots of examples.
Yeah.
But these are 2 guys that really understand the game at a higher level. They understand 2-man games. They both understand pick and roll, pick and pop. They understand the things that you're trying to do defensively, and they do. They both do a really good job. Billy Donovan, excuse me, I think Billy Donovan has quietly had one of the better seasons as a coach in the NBA. No one thinks of Oklahoma City, even now as I sit here, and could ask someone that considers themselves to be a really good sports fan. Okay, name me 3 guys that play for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
And yet we're talking about a team that finished 4th in the West.
Yep.
So
wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, and so Billy Donovan really needs, deserves a lot of credit because that's a team that plays with a plan. They don't have a guy that revs the engine, but they're really good defensively, generally, and they don't care who's getting the points. They spread it out and they do different things that are very unselfish in nature, and that gives them a good chance to win. So I'm not putting anything past Oklahoma City. I think they're a decent club. I still think there's two teams in the West, and those would be the teams that I would stick with, the two LA teams, and I would say that you're talking about 2 to 3 teams in the East to get to the finals. So,
yeah, Giannis got.
Let me put it to you this way.
Okay,
I've got the Lakers and the Clippers. I've got the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Raptors. You want the field or do you want the five?
Depends on how much money we're talking about here. If it was a $5 bill, I'll take the field. If it's a C note.
Well, sure. You'll always take the field on a broad bet because that's usually the good bet. But how about your last dollar?
Well, I'm looking here.
It depended on it.
You said Milwaukee. And who else in the East?
Milwaukee,
Boston.
Milwaukee, Boston, Toronto.
Oh, see, no.
So one of those five teams wins it, or two of those five teams reaches the final.
I'd have to put all my eggs in the Western Conference basket because I don't. Gobbling up the first three in the East is really top heavy to me. I mean,
it is. It is.
Think there's a big difference between maybe even Boston and Miami. I'm totally in agreement with Toronto. I was going to say that Giannis got a one-game suspension for headbutting the other day. We didn't talk about that. And they just kind of played out the string for the last week, and they lost last night to – who was it? Was it Memphis that beat him? Like Memphis had to get in and Milwaukee could give a crap, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, Memphis had to get into the play-in, right?
Right,
I mean,
yes.
Aren't they?
To play
so
Portland.
Still, yeah, there's, yeah, right.
So in is a relative term. But anyway, yeah, I think the East is a little more top-heavy than the West, just from what I've seen, and would give – I would give your Nuggets a puncher's chance more so than I would, for example, Miami or Indiana in the East, and they have similar records. I think maybe it's too small a sample size, but Michael Porter Jr. is figuring some stuff out in the bubble big time, and we'll see if they, even after they move on from the Jazz, which I think they will, if it indeed just becomes a two-horse race in the West and both teams residing in Los Angeles. I don't want it to be that way. And actually, I secretly hope that Damian Lillard stays hot, assuming that they play the Lakers and make the Lakers really uncomfortable, if not beat them a couple of times. I just find it hard to pull for the Lakers. Like, I don't have a problem if the Bucks went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're the prohibitive number one, just like the Lakers are in the West. But I have a different feeling about the Lakers, and doesn't at least some of us or most of us? And is it because LeBron's on that team? Unanswerable questions, probably. But
yeah.
I have just a teeny tiny bit of disdain for the Lakers. I don't for the Bucks.
And that's okay. I mean, I'm just wondering
where it comes from, because I don't feel that way about the Bucks or even Toronto, and they both won just as many or more games than the Lakers did. But I wouldn't.
I will give you that Denver has a puncher's chance, but it's a slight one. They're 3-4 in the bubble. They've given up 124, 124, 132, albeit in double overtime, 125, 126, and 113. 130, their first game back was their best defensive effort, 113 in overtime. Now, look, you can flip the switch and you can be a better defensive team. And if they get Will Barton and Gary Harris back along with Jamal Murray, they can actually guard. They don't guard the three-point line. They're the worst defensive team at the three-point line in the NBA, or at least since the bubble has come back. And they're only 3-4 in the bubble. So there's my trepidation with the Nuggets.
You know what? The more I watch in the bubble, the more I think you could say that about a lot of teams.
It's you not could.
Like
You're
they're,
right.
It's not like they're just giving up 118. Teams are giving up 130, and we're talking about regulation too. And I don't quite – I kind of understand. I mean, if you are locked into a certain spot, which that late in the season, most of these teams knew where they were going to be, and save for, what, the Mavericks and maybe a couple others, they had a really legit shot. If they played well in the bubble, they could move up a couple of spots. But – most everybody else, especially after you play a couple games down there, the die is cast. You knew. I mean, Toronto, it seemed to me like, knew they were going to be the two from the minute they stepped foot in Orlando. So if, you know, that affects your rotation, who gets your minutes, and actually how much you really give a damn about playing defense, then I guess I kind of get it. But, man, it was a routine 130-point night for everybody. And that's a lot of points.
No,
and
I
tend to agree with you about the flipping of the switch, but that's a pretty big flip. If you want to hold somebody to about 97 instead of 132, just because the page on the calendar is a little different, kind of a cautionary tale of just defense being a rumor in the bubble. And it's like, oh, you know, once the playoffs start, then we'll start caring and guarding. And again, I do get that the rotation and who's in has everything to do with how you play as a unit in the NBA. I get that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people got a lot of minutes that won't normally get them. There was one game that Bol Bol played a ton. And
I played like 22 minutes.
Yeah,
that's not
it was that game that the other day that we were talking about where nobody got more than 26 or something like that.
Right.
And everybody on the roster got at least 21. But I don't want to sound old school or preachy or go back to, you know, the Bad Boys Pistons, but it's a culture, it's a belief, it's a buy-in, and maybe not playing in front of any fans has a little something to do with it.
Yeah, it could be.
Doesn't make you as edgy, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't make you dig in as much, but everybody's in the same boat, and so I guess from here on out we'll find out. I mean, and we'll keep
But who's got the nasty now?
Yeah.
Because if everything to this point has kind of been like, now look, there are some teams, and we've talked about it, Phoenix, all of the teams on the back end have had to play with some purpose and some urgency if they really wanted to get into the playoffs. And we've seen that with some teams. But generally the teams at the top, I mean, the Lakers, I guess they did beat Denver after they had clinched, but have basically been, and I think they beat Denver just because they understand and identify Denver as a team that they probably are going to have, that they could potentially deal with.
Yeah, but Denver should have won that game. I remember talking about
should've
that.
Should have won that game.
Denver
no, you're
won
absolutely
that game.
Right. Yeah. Should have won that game and didn't. But now you get into the, you know, all right, who's got the nasty going? Who's thumping the chest now? Because that is the way it is. There is a lot of that in the NBA. And don't think that the Lakers won't assume the identity of LeBron James in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't think that the Clippers aren't going to be assuming the lead of Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs. Those guys set the tone, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, so everybody's got to have Damian Lillard sets the tone for the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, he's practically put them in a position to get into the playoffs by himself. Although Melo hit a big three last night, didn't he?
And Melo's had a decent bubble. The whole
he has had a pretty good bubble.
He's had a good
a nice three
time in the
night,
bubble.
So,
All right, let's get going here on a Friday. What's on tap, courtesy of Side Pockets out of Tyler Crossing. Kelce and Kittle, the two best tight ends, both got paid. A Seahawks rookie yet to practice in his first outing as a Seahawk got kicked out of the hotel and kicked off the team because he tried to
sneak. Can you say idiot?
Tried to sneak a girl into the hotel wearing Seahawks gear, playing her off
Good
as a
God.
Player. Okay. Alec Bohm got called up, and he got a hit in his first AB. So
excited to see that.
Former
that
Shocker great Alec Bohm made his Major League debut. Mark Emmert spoke. We'll hear some sound from him here in just a little bit. A lot of ground to cover and how the Chiefs could afford to pay pretty much every superstar that they have. We'll take a little look inside their cap and the space here in just a little bit. And the two best, unquestionably, the two best tight ends got a big payday within the last 24 hours. We will discuss as we come back. It's Shane, and it's Bruce, and Jad, of course. And the Blackhawks had a close shave last night but couldn't quite knock off the Vegas Knights. We may get to that if time allows to. This is Sports Daily, and this is KFH.